Father, your kingdom, Father, your Christ, you are.
You are my God.
Oh yes, Lord, and there is nothing you cannot do.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There's no mountain
you cannot move.
Lord, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
For you are my God.
You
Hallelujah.
Are
my we sing
God.
That again. Oh Lord, there is nothing you cannot do. Yes, Lord. To the top. We sing again. Oh Lord my God.
Oh Lord my God.
Lord, I trust
in you.
Put your hands up and just say, I trust you, Lord.
I trust in you.
For you are my God. Surrender all to him. Oh Lord my God, I trust.
Oh Lord my God,
the creator of all things, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
For you know all things, you see all things.
I trust
Hallelujah.
In you.
Oh yes, God, we trust in you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You are
trust
in you.
Ambassador Bishop Simeon Oka, who is your father in the Lord, from the depth of my heart, congratulate you. For 49 years in ministry, Pastor Ifezino, I will not forget the years that you follow Dr. Maurice Selulo around the whole world and the impact that was made. Then not only that, your own ministry, right there from Canada, it can't be overemphasized. You and your wife have made such an impact as a pastor. I congratulate you from the depth of my heart. And knowing fully well that there are more years that you will still make impact around the whole world, I want to say congratulations for your 49th anniversary of the ministry. I want to say, I'm reminding you, as your father, the days ahead of you shall be better than what your God have used you to do so far. I want to say congratulations again. And may God of heaven, who is God of mercy and God of goodness, who have taught you and have used you, use you much more in the remaining years of your life. May the God whom you have served with all your heart bless you and make you even much more popular around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Very wonderful Bishop Mike Zeno. This is your fellow brother and co-laborer in the vineyard of Jesus Christ, rejoicing with you and congratulating you in the occasion of your 49th year anniversary in the services of the kingdom. As you are aware, calling to ministry is all by the grace of God. And I want to thank God that this is what you have understood and has been working for you mightily over these close to 5 decades. My wife and I rejoice with you today, and your wife as well, congratulating you for standing strong. I do believe that what God did for Moses will be fully duplicated in your life, whose eyes were not dim, nor strength abated all through his ministry life. Look forward to greater times in your life, greater impact in your ministry, in the year ahead, and even more years to come. We pray and desire that God will continue to strengthen you to take this gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world, not just within Canada, but beyond, all across the globe. The Lord strengthen you, bless you, and reward you mightily. We love you, and God bless you. Amen.
The Lord. Amen. God is good. I want to thank God for his staying power and grace, and to recognize that his faithfulness is what stays us, keeps us focused, established, and drives us to see his kingdom come and his will done in the earth as it is in heaven. I want to thank those two fathers of millions of people around the globe. Pastor Oka was the one that led me to the Lord, the first one, and Pastor Abioye, another dynamic man of God. I don't think you'll mention, too many names of relevant men of God, not only in Nigeria or Africa or all the world, without mentioning Bishop Abioye. So it's an honor to have both of them send greetings. Next year will be the 50th, and we're going to make much about it because it will be a celebration of God's jubilee in my life And I'm looking forward to it. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I want to complete the message that I was sharing with us this morning. This morning, I talked about how God sustains us, how He builds His church, how the church of Jesus Christ is founded on the ministry of service. For when the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "Who do men, who do people say that I am?" They mentioned so many names of great men, and then He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter mentioned, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, we've heard and seen that particular response primarily from one perspective, the perspective of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who came to deliver us, the one anointed, the Son of the living God. But we've not dig deep into what the Messiah was all about. The Messiah meaning that He was the one who came in the obedience of God's directives as a son to deliver and bring to clarity, to manifestation, God's will in the heavens, in the earth. And for Him to do that, He had to die. He came to serve. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in that declaration that was made about Him, was making clear to us that His church was going to be founded on people who were getting connection with what was in heaven, and through commitment and service, we're making it manifest in the earth amongst people. Praise the Lord. That is what that means. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but My Father which is in heaven." Later on in that particular passage, He says, "I don't want you telling anybody about this. Don't tell a soul that I am the Christ." We pondered about that particular statement. Why would He make a statement such as that? He's just revealed Himself, or God has revealed the true entity of who Jesus is, that it was not just some guy walking down the street of Bethlehem or Nazareth or Capernaum or riding a boat in the Sea of Galilee, son of Joseph and Mary, but that He was the Christ. That was a deep revelation. Because sometimes you can be walking around with people and not know their true essence, who they really are. And because even His own family did not recognize who He really was, His brothers, "Yeah, you're a miracle worker. Come do the same things that you're doing over there, over here. Then we'll believe you." He could not do many miracles, great miracles, in His own hometown because of familiarity. We lose so much. Even here today, I have seen manifested so many miracles outside of this house. As pastors, you know. And so, there is a buffer. It takes so much more to penetrate that buffer. But I've been in places when I walked through the doors to come on the stage, miracles have already started happening. Miracles of all kinds. And I'm saying, what is going on here? I remember one time I was in Brazil. Miracles had already started happening. And at the end, I hadn't prayed for the sick or anything like that. I said, let those that have been healed come to testify. And the front was full of people. And there was a guy. I remember he was wearing a white top. He kept on waving his hand. I'm thinking, this guy's going to hit somebody. He kept on waving it. Just swinging his arm. I said, what happened? Some 12 or maybe 15 years prior, he had been shot. 12 bullets on this shoulder. He'd not moved that arm. God healed him right there. I'm saying, my Lord, what happened here? And he said, the Lord says to me, he said, is sickness darkness? I said, yes. He said, are you light? I said, yes. So when light comes, what happens to the darkness? I said, it's got to leave. Does the light have to pray for the darkness to leave? No. Okay, you're light. Expect for sickness to leave when you step up. Wow. That energized the faith of God operational inside of me to recognize that God can do things for us beyond that which we ask or think. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I want to continue, but it might be strange where I'm continuing from, because I want you to look at the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter with me. This is a chapter that you will mention and people automatically know what that chapter is. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. God's spirit came upon me and carried me. My prayer today is that the Spirit of God will come upon every one of us and carry us to a place where impossibilities become possible. He brought this man by his spirit, carried him, and he brings him to a valley that was full of bones. Bones. He says, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. So in essence, when you come and you see these bones, you see bones that are so dry, they're chipped all over the place. God brought him and he showed him a world of that which was no more. No more. They used to be. It looks like the church We talk about the day of Pentecost and the move of God. We talk about Peter moving and his shadow bringing healings to the people. We talk about a lot of things today. We talk about the splitting of the Red Sea. We talk about the manna that fell from the heavens as God made provision for his people. We talk about the water that came out of the rock. We talk about fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice. We can go on and on and on, and we talk about miracles, and it seemed commonplace. And we come to our day, and we're struggling with all kinds of diseases, all kinds of ailments, all kinds of stuff, and we have teachers of the word saying the days of healing are over. Our first response, our knee-jerk response to everything around us is the bottle, the package of meds. God asks the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Why is it that our lives are just like the lives of those who do not know God? Why is it that the challenges that face them is the same challenges that face us, and we don't have a solution? It is the valley of dry bones. When we do not believe anymore, God brings this man to that particular place, and he asked him, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? He said, and answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Only you know. Can these bones live? Only you know. Can this church live? God, only you know. Will we see the miracles again? Lives changed, transformed, minds renewed, people breaking free from every limitation. Only you know. And God says, not only do I know, but today you're going to know. How am I going to know this? He says, I want you to prophesy. Prophesy upon these bones. Speak to these bones that are dry and very dry. These that used to be but are no longer. Once upon a time, they were nice ivory color, but now they are gray, they are cracked, they are all messed up and scattered. Clavicle is over there, the humerus is over there, the skull is over there, the right rib over there, and the tibia over there, and they're scattered all over the place. He says, I want you to speak to these bones. They are scattered, they're divided, they are not in unity. They are no longer attached to one another. But my blessings, my commanded blessings come when brethren dwell together in unity. And here is this people, divided, Baptist from Mennonite, from Catholic, Charismatic, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. You do not see yourself and accept the other as Christian. And the thing is that because we are not together, we do not burn properly. Fireplace has wood. And I enjoyed a lot of that with Mama this during the week. You know, just a single log may start out okay, burning okay. But if he doesn't have companions, the big, the little twig, whatever, it does not continue to burn in interesting colors. We all matter in the service and the calling of God. So he says, prophesy and say unto these very dry bones, hear, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Not just me talking. I'm talking about, I'm repeating what God said. He says to me, prophesy upon these bones. And I say to you bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. They are dry bones. But God says, tell it, those dry bones, the end thereof. I am going to cause breath to enter into you. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. I'm going to cause you to live. And I dare say today, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that the church that you see today is not going to remain the same. The Bible tells us that greater things shall we do, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and so are we by faith. And we will do the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. The move of God in this latter day shall be so extraordinary. It will sweep upon the face of the earth, Baptist and Presbyterian, and everybody will be moving by the Spirit of God, because the prophetic declaration of God is that He is going to breathe upon us and we shall live. I don't think that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to leave this place weak. No, the devil is going to be begging for the church to live. Hallelujah. We will be the people of God in this last of the last days. Praise the Lord. Don't count us out. We may look like nothing. We may look dry. We may look like we are defeated and once and for all, and we are going to become dust, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But out of these ashes, God is going to raise up a mighty people. Out of this dust, God is going to raise up a mighty people. Out of the place of our weakness and out of the place that seems to be the place of our defeat and demise, where it seemed like the devil overcame us, God is going to raise us up, because He says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. As long as we keep on believing that He is God and sovereign, we shall be the manifestation of His divine purpose in the earth as it is in heaven. There will be a manifestation. I say there will be a manifestation. I say the third time, there will be a manifestation of God's divine will and purpose, and Satan shall flee from the people of the Most High God. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, I will cause breath to enter into you. Stop thinking that you are very dry and that you are done with, because life is coming into you. But what is he talking to? That which was dead. How can the dead hear? But God goes beyond death and brings life to, because he is a God of life. His life never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His love never comes to an end. What is God saying? It seems like you defeated, but I love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But God cannot do it by himself without a prophet. The heavens, even the heavens, they belong unto the Lord. But the earth has he given to the sons of men. God is looking for men, people, that will restate his words. He said, prophesy upon these dry bones. And he began, says, thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I say, the breath of God is coming upon the church, and the church shall live. I believe that something extraordinary is about to happen in our days and in our times. He says, and I will lay sinews upon you. Looks like God is working backwards. You're going to live. I'm going to breathe on you. Sinews are going to be upon you. I'm going to bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. Full circle. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So he prophesied. The word of God says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. This is the extraordinary factor of God doing something that he did not pre-warn us about. He did not say, there's going to be a shaking. He just told him the end result. This is what you're going to see at the end. This is what you're going to be. The how. Many times God doesn't tell us. He just tells you what will be. This is what I want you to say. Say what will be. The how is your surprise. Can you imagine while he's prophesying and everything starts shaking, crackling everywhere? The earth is shaking, bones are shaking. Those that have been buried way under, weighted down by other bones, are coming out, sticking out, and all of a sudden, they are flying all over the place. I can see Ezekiel ducking. That's what I will do. I don't get hit by these bones. Why is this happening? I thought you were going to breathe on them. But the bones are going all over the place. And pretty soon, the big toe bone shows up and the little ones and the thumb, the arms are showing up. And they're all these things rattling. I said, what's going on? What's going on here? I see something happening. But while I see it happening, It hasn't taken any form that I can truly relate with. It's foundational stuff. And I believe that the shaking has already started. And part of what happens is when the people of God are being challenged, pressurized, that they begin to find a sense of community in the midst of the crisis around them. They find a sense of community. Many years ago, when Mama and I first came into the country, there were not very many people of color. Today, everywhere you go, you see people of color in the neighborhood, in the schools, everywhere. There weren't too many of us here. And when we saw another black young man or woman, oh, that's one of us. It gave us a sense of community. I didn't ask whether they were from Africa or North America or wherever. I just knew that was somebody I can relate with. We found each other. Now there's so many, and some don't want to even associate themselves with particular groups because they want to hide under the radar. No, we can see you. It's the same thing if you were to go to Africa and you saw millions of black people. The first time you see another person of color like you, you want to know, where you from? Where are you from? I'm from the United States. I'm from Canada. I'm from Russia. I'm from Poland. I'm Irish. Community. Finding yourself. Relating. Here these bones came together. While he was busy looking at what was happening, the Bible says, behold, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. But the first thing God said was going to come upon them was, I'm going to breathe on them, and they're going to live. Everything else has happened. Yes, everything else had to happen. Do you want God to breathe over the skeleton without the flesh? Process. Somebody say process. In the midst of the change, it's process. And we need to celebrate. Oh, we may not look like everything God said, but we are becoming day by day what God has purposed. Shaken. Sinews. Muscles. Coming. Strengthening. But it all looks so raw. And skin. But there was no breath in them. Still dead. Better dead. This was God bringing them back to what they used to be like, but not altogether. The first stage, the completion of the first stage of what God is about to do with his church is that we are going to become like the church used to be when it was alive, but without the fullness. So what do you mean? They had the flesh. Johnny looks exactly like Johnny should have looked when he died. We're going to look exactly like the first stage when the church lost its fullness. When the church lost, because it happened. There was a day where it seemed like the power of God stopped moving in the church, and the church became traditional. And I dare say this, that part of how this will manifest itself is that people are going to go back to the time when they were ritualistic. In your thinking, there are people that used to be Pentecostal that went back to being Catholic or Anglican. And we may say, that's not good. We need more power. God is in it. It is going back to the place where the sinews and everything. I don't want all these messages that don't mean anything to me. I want messages that ground me. I need the sense of direction. I need some order. This other one, they're doing this and they're doing that. There seems to be no order to it. I need some infrastructure. Yeah, you say you've got power, you've got this, but there's no structure to whatever it is that you're doing. I need some structure. And when we say, no, you're going backwards. Yeah, they're going backwards. But they're going backwards to the place where God is able to do something, because God needs structure to work. This church of Jesus Christ is going to embrace structure. Order. The face of the church is about to change. From everybody just doing whatever it is they want to do, whenever it is they want to do it, to order. Because God's power moves in the place where order, unity is. So there's a structure, there's order, but there's no power. And that's the stage that it got to. Then God said, prophesy unto the wind. First time I asked you to prophesy over the dry bones, but now I'm saying, prophesy to the wind. Everything has come into order. Now speak to the wind. Son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Something had happened. They were killed here. They died here. They became dry beyond recognition, scattered all over. But now, let the glory of this latter house come. Spirit of the living God, breathe again upon these that have been slain, these that the enemy thought he had overcome, these that the enemy thought will not rise again, these that the enemy thought were forever defeated, breathe upon them again. And the wind of God came and rested on the structure of unity. For the people that are united cannot be stopped. One of the signs of what is going to happen is that we're going to operate in the spirit of unity as one people under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are going to be the people of God in this last of the last days. The voice of God will be heard again. The movement of the people of God will be heard again. We will be the people of God that rise up in great power and might in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, don't count me out. Don't count yourself out. We are going to be the people of God, and we are going to leave this place stronger than we started. Hallelujah. God is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over his church. But I say, Father, help us to have structure, because the anointing is not going to come and flow without structure. The church has to have structure. Everybody knowing who they are and what they are and why they are there. If God has called you to be part of this church, then you find your place in this church, doing what God has called you and I to do within his body. It is from that capacity that we can join hands with another, who joins hands with another, and together we fight. But you cannot be everything God wants you to be somewhere else without being who you're supposed to be in your house. It is just the way it is. So the breath of God came. For the word of God says, so I prophesied as he commanded me. He prophesied to the dry bones as he was commanded. Now he's prophesying as he was commanded by the Spirit of God. And the bread came unto them. It came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet. An exceeding great army. What? Yes. They stood up when the bread came upon them. May the breath of the living God come upon the church that God has put together in order, that we may stand an exceeding great army. Where did this army come from? From the very, very dry bones. From that which was once and was not, but is now is. Because God did not come into agreement with their failures and their defeat. He saw them, always saw them, as an exceeding great army. We see each other weak, destabilized, but God sees beyond that. Peter, Peter, come on. The devil sought to just mess you around, but I've prayed for you. Which Peter is he talking about? Oh, you're going to deny me 3 times. No, I'm not. Yes, you will. I see you. But I've prayed for you. And you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. How many men, women have we thrown under the bus as refuse, garbage? Because we counted them not worth our time, not worth our prayer, not worth anything. I always knew he was a crooked guy. I knew it. Yes, there is a manifestation. That which is inside him just showed up, threw away. God doesn't throw away like that. He has what he sees about that one. So he says to Peter, when you're strong, strengthen your brothers. Don't throw them away. When Peter denied him, he ran away naked. But the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians, it says, when Jesus rose again from the dead, he says he showed himself to the disciples and also to Peter. Peter, I thought, Lord, you said that he was going to be the vessel that you use because of the revelation that he had to build the church. I mean, your choice messed up like this. So many that have been chosen by God have messed up, so that they come to the place where they recognize that if it weren't for God's grace, they will not be what God says they should be. Now God began to speak to him. He says to him, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones. They're the whole house of Israel. These bones represent the church. They represent the nation of Israel. And he says, behold, they say, this is what they say. Our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Divided us. Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Charismatic. Now, no denominations. There is not going to be a segment in heaven called the Catholics. Then you go to the Methodist quarter. Well, let's go visit the Baptists over here. And within the Baptists and within the Catholics and within the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals, there are so many divisions. The other day, somebody had called me on the 5th, not met this young man, to say congratulations for 49 years in ministry. I said, thank you. I said, are you a pastor somewhere? No, he says, I'm not a pastor. I have a ministry and we work with the youth and so on and so forth. I said, well, that's great. And I said to him, I said, I don't know why I'm saying this to you, but are you part of a ministry team? Because there's so many churches. Every other place you turn, there's this church here, and everyone is looking for a place to put something together. I said, you know what? What a fist can do is greater than what a finger will do. Splintered everywhere. Everybody wants to be behind the pulpit or wherever. But what did God call you to do? And how are you bringing to pass what God wants? I said, I'm not doubting that your call or anything like that, but when God called you, did you at some point think, to whom has God called me to join myself to? Oh, God, you've called me. Who are you going to join to me to fulfill the mandate? Everybody, every one of us, receives an anointing from God. But it's not so that we can become lone rangers in whatever it is that we're doing. So that we can become a team, have structure, have order. One shall chase 1,000, the Lord says, and 2, 10,000. But you know what? When he made that declaration, one shall chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000. He was talking about what the enemy will do to people who are not following the mandates and directives of God. We flip it around and use that particular passage positively and say, well, if one of them can chase 1,000 of us and 2, 10,000 when we're not following God, what will happen when we are standing with God? Passage in Deuteronomy 32:30. It says, how should one chase 1,000? How is that possible? And to put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. That's where the passage comes from. The demise of the people of God, because God is not with them. But if God be for us, who can be against us? For one with God is majority. The Bible shows us how Samson single-handedly wiped out thousands of people. With the jawbone of an ass. They had all the weaponry, they had their shield, they had their armor, they had everything. All Samson had was a jawbone, something that was dead. but with God. That which was not made to be a weapon became a weapon. One little thing in the hand of that one that is chosen of God becomes something that is destructive. God wants to use every one of us in spectacular ways. Hallelujah. Just the jawbone. Just a jawbone. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps. With the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. What is God going to do with our lives? I cannot explain. But this much I do know. He's going to breathe, and he's breathing, and we prophesy over the church that God has first and foremost brought under the canopy of order, that his breath will come upon that church, and that unified church, structured church, that does not see itself as this denomination or that denomination or that denomination, but the body of Christ. The body of Christ. One people under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I may not worship like you worship, but we are worshiping the same God. You know, there might be some people, they just stand and sing out of a book. And there might be some other people that may sway a little bit, but not too much. And there are some other people that are jumping and dancing like crazy people, singing out of the wall. There might be some people, all lights are showing everywhere. It's like you're in a rock concert or something. But whatever it is, if we are all praising the Lord, let's do it. I will stand in attention like a soldier. Hallelujah. I may sway like one who is out there by the wall. Praise the Lord. It's all part of our worship. We don't sing the same kind of songs. Some like singing country. Some like to do it the rock style. Some like to sing in hymns. But you know what I found out many years ago? Pastoring a church just down the street here. It's now moved on to the perimeter. They didn't sing songs like we sing here. They had their piano and organ, and they sang from hymnals. And when you are the one preaching, you're supposed to choose the hymns that were going to be sung that particular Sunday. You had control over that service, what's going to happen. And so I'll hear the word of God, and I'll try to find a suitable hymn. You know what I found out? I thought I had just come up with some very deep revelation from the word of God, and I'm looking at the hymn book. And some guy, 300, 400 years ago, what I thought was, wow, I got some revelation. He already had it. It was in the hymn. I said, what? Whatever revelation I think I have, somebody already had. The problem? We've not built on the shoulders of giants before us. Everybody's trying to do their own thing. Why don't you brick upon brick? The amount of bricks that the body of Christ has could have built a megaplex. Can you imagine all of those little Pee Wee Herman churches that started? They came together and were working together. Can you imagine how many arenas will be filled on a Sunday? Can you imagine? Stadiums filled out. Not because the Blue Bombers are playing. No, we, the church, are functioning as a church. And a crowd pulls a crowd. Because we're working together. Why? We're listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not about who is going to be the leader of this movement. We have a leader already. His name is Jesus. Amen? You think I want to be preparing a message every Sunday, Saturday, Monday? No, sometimes I just want to sit down and listen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, God may put it, only one man is out there and doing their thing. And we'll receive the message and we'll run with it. Everybody running with it in whatever direction. Maybe it's in cell groups or whatever groups. But we know that we are all functioning together as one people, one church. I said to that young man, did you ever think about working with somebody? You call to the youth. It's a place that you're gathering that youth to. Maybe that's, did you ever think about that? Maybe that's not what God planned for him. And what he's doing is exactly what he should be doing. But I do not believe that every storefront church out there was called to just be a unit, separated. No. Why was Glory and Peace born? Because we are going to be celebrating, in a sense, 36 years. September the 10th. Amen? Praise the Lord. The very first beginnings of this church, your Seven Oaks Evangelical Church, was started when I, in 85, September the 8th of 85, I had gone out as a visitation pastor for the church I was talking about, out in the Garden City area. And I'll wrap up in a moment. And as I was visiting in this area called the co-op, the cooperative, I went to visit the lawyers. The lawyers were attending that same church because their daughter, Nicole, had gone to that church and wanted to go back to Sunday school class and drag them to that church. And I went to visit with them. And while I was there at their house, visiting with them and some other families that were in that particular cooperative, the Lord said to me, I want you to start a church in this area. I said, I rebuke you, devil. He said, I want you to start a church in this area. I had just been pastoring this particular church where I was invited to become a pastor. It was like a Methodist church. I'm Pentecostal background. I believe in speaking in tongues. These people don't believe any such thing. I started attending that church once in a blue moon because of a friend of ours. He loved going there, and Sister Esme, some of you may know her, attended that same church. And so once every 2 months or so, I will attend that church. The rest of the time, I was out there, all over Manitoba. Every weekend, I was going somewhere to preach the gospel. In remote communities. This pastor calls me and says to me, our council or board had voted that you become our pastor of evangelism and visitation. And then added, and you cannot say no. I didn't apply for the job. I didn't even attend that church long enough for them to know me to that extent. Come to find out, the superintendent of the denomination had brought a friend of his who was going to be attending the Providence College to do counseling, presented him to become a pastor in that denomination, in that church, and they said, we have somebody in mind. So who do you have in mind? Oh, this guy. Oh, but I'm offering you somebody. You need somebody. Yes, we need somebody. But we want him. But I want you to have this guy. He said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We will take your guy. We'll pay him half of the wages of a pastor. And we'll take our guy and we'll pay him half. Your guy will help us with management, structure. And so did he. He gave structure. I came with a fresh anointing. And I've been serving there for about a year, and God is telling me to go start a church. I said, no, I love my pastor. They've done me well. I cannot go. I said, but I'm asking you to. And if there was a time that I can say I became depressed, I think what I went through the next few days might be called depression. Because now I'm very upset. And I said to God, I cannot do it. Why can't you do it? I said, that area there that you tell me to go start a church, my second excuse, it's a very Jewish area, I said. I remember on my knees at Suite 925 Dufferin, just down about a kilometer from here, I'm on my knees. I can see myself there right now. I hear the voice of the Lord. And he says to me, you don't want to go to that place because it's a very Jewish area. I said, Lord, that's what I'm saying. How am I going to do this? He said, I have a few questions for you. I said, what is it, Father? He says, where did my church start? I said, it started in Jerusalem. And the next statement was, can you get more Jewish than Jerusalem? I give up. So I called my pastor. And I said to him, Pastor, I need to talk with you. At that time, I was attending the University of Winnipeg, doing a degree in economics. And the next day, on the Monday, he comes with a man, another man of God, that served as an elder in that church called John Thiessen. My pastor's name was Lucas Vambushotin. They come, and I meet them in the culinary department, in the school mess, or whatever you might call it, banquet hall, cafeteria, that's the word. And they're sitting across from me. I said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, God is asking me to start a church in the Garden City area. And the boat went, hallelujah! This is strange. Met of this kind of a background, raising their hands and shouting hallelujah, must have become contagious. Hallelujah! What happened? Just yesterday, they said, we were talking together. And God said, we should start a church in the Garden City area. You're the man. I said, oh, my Lord. He said, we're going to continue to pay your salary. For the next 6 months, we're going to pay you. You go. Go do it. So we started September the 8th. Our first speaker was a dear man of God, one of a great television ministry here in the city years back, Willard and Betty Thiessen. Willard spoke, and I still remember his message, do not neglect small beginnings. So I was with them from 85 to 89 when God spoke to me again, says, it's time to move on. I said, move on to what? To start another church. I said, I'm already in a church. What are you talking about? He said, what I want you to use you to do, you cannot do under this denomination. And we'll bring you out to build something where you can accomplish what I need to accomplish speedily. What about the structure? Structure without the Spirit is dead. So once again, I had to talk to my pastor, and this time with the superintendent of the denomination. God is asking me to move on. But I place myself under your care. If you say no, because you're the ones over me, I will not move. But if you release me, God wants to use me in a different pathway. They said, okay, we'll release you. So on the 10th of September, 4 years later, the church called Place of Peace Family Church was born. Place of Peace Family Church became Glory and Peace. I remember we were already in this building. One lady came here. First time she ever came here, the last time I ever saw her. She said to me, this name, Place of Peace, sounds too much like rest in peace. I heard her and I said, God, were you in that? He said, yes, I'm in it. I said, so what is the name of this church? Because the name of our church comes from Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 and Ephesians chapter 3. He said it's the second level of your name. I said, it's in here. He said, yes. He says, and in this place, give me Haggai too. He says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give what? Peace, said the Lord of hosts. Glory and peace. That's how our name came about. So we morphed on to glory and peace. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Amen? The glory of the church shall be greater than it was. Because he promised us, greater things shall you do because I go to be with the Father. Get ready for explosive, indescribable testimonies. Are you hearing me? Testimonies that you cannot explain. And it is going to happen effortlessly. Praise God. I wrap with this statement. I was listening to something that came through on my device. A young man, I have no reason to doubt what he was talking about. True or false, God can do even greater. He said God came to him and spoke to him and said, I want you to go to that hospital over there and I want you to clear it out, heal everyone. He says, how am I going to do that? So, he went into a fast. He said, fasting to get more power to go do what it is that God said he was going to do. He calls one of his friends and says, what are you doing? The guy says, I'm just chilling. He said, have you eaten? He says, no, I've not eaten today. He says, keep that as a fast because we should go over to this place and God is going to do something. So on the day off that God instructed him to go to the hospital, he chickened out. He didn't go. So the next day, he was put himself together. He says, I'm going to go. He says, the Lord spoke to him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the hospital. God had told him, said, don't be afraid. I'm going to go with you and heal all of those people. But he didn't. So the next day he goes to that hospital and he introduces himself to the people at the front desk and says, who are you here to see? He says, I have come to pray for the sick in this hospital. The lady says, are you here to pray for the sick or the healthy? He said, I came here to pray for the sick. He said, well, yesterday, which was the day that he was supposed to be there, a guy called Jesus came in here and healed everybody. So we don't have any sick people here. He said, well, what are you talking about? He said, yes, a guy called Jesus came in here and healed everybody. Come. So they took him from ward to ward to ward, and there were all the paraphernalia of medicine, drip and cords and everything laying everywhere. No sick people. Jesus had come, and all he needed was a guy to be there with him. He said, he cried and cried and cried and said, Lord, I'm so sorry. And a young man makes this statement, said, the Lord says, I can heal them, but I can't preach to them. I needed you to be there to preach to them and so that they can be saved. I said, this is a big one. But the truth is that he's well able to do with us great and mighty things in this last of the last days. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you will do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. We thank you for raising up your church in this last of the last days. We will be your people. We will be your people. We will manifest your glory. We will do extraordinary things because your grace, O God, is sufficient. We thank you, Lord, O God, that your word is coming to us afresh, and we are being empowered by your Spirit to do that which is pleasing in your sight. No more shall it be said of us, your people, your church, that we are dead, dry bones, ineffective, irresponsible, but rather, without saying anything, we will stand an exceeding great army. We will do extraordinary things. We will see strongholds torn down and the captives set free. We say yes to your word and to your will. Make us all that you have purposed, and help us go through the process necessary. Establish structure in us, but not structure that is traditional, that resists your will and your word, but a kind of structure that is empowered by you to see the fulfillment of your will in the heavens, now in the earth. We say yes and amen to your word, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord causes glory to rest upon you. And may this week be an extraordinary week for you as you enjoy the fullness of God's goodness. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And as we honor God with our giving, may God increase us, blessing us, and making us a blessing. Come, honor God by faith.